it's a safe asset. It's very hard to get in now and hope to make money in the short term. Period. I mean, it just is what it is. We've had huge moves, so that short term game is a very tough game right now. But I think the underlying fundamentals and longer term stories aren't going to change. I mean, you've got large debt loads on a lot of these major countries. You have, I mean, the rollover into hard assets has been underlooked for decades, probably. So, I mean, in terms of what portion is the correct portion for an individual investor, even a central bank or institutional, it all depends, just depends. But we've seen a lot of, obviously, movement into those hard assets. And I think it's been very interesting.
Good day. Joining us is Daryl Fletcher, Managing Director at Bannockburn Capital Markets and an investor and specialist in metals, energy, and commodities. Daryl, great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Look forward to it.
Well, Daryl, as we enter a quiet year-end period, markets seem to be consolidating. Wanted to know what you're watching right now. If you can kind of give us an overview on just kind of where we've been. And if you are looking at any hidden flows and signals investors might be overlooking right now as the year closes.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. It's been an interesting year for sure. I mean, commodities have been in the forefront for a lot of good reasons, especially on the precious side. But I kind of look at all the commodities across the board as a generalist. So I kind of start always looking at like what's the broader complex look like. And if you look at the broader complex, whether it's Bloomberg Commodity Index, Bloomberg Spot Index, across the broader complex, you're up like 16-17%. But then you really have to look into the sectors and kind of break it down to see what's been going on, which is pretty telling. It's been an interesting year for metals, whether it's been base or precious, which is not in the commodity space. That's typically not what happens. You know, it's typically about oil. So it's been an interesting year. And I cover both, and I really enjoy covering them. But if you break it down into the sectors, energy's actually down. I think the broad energy sector, mainly driven by crude oil, down about 6%, but not hugely, but it's definitely grinding lower. That's kind of what I thought all year, is that we would have kind of this range to lower movement in crude oil, and I don't think that's going to change going into next year. I mean, we can talk about the fundamentals later, but then you get into the metal side, and both base metals and precious metals have had like huge years. I look at the LMEX, the London Metal Exchange, which is the broader complex of all the base metals, and it's had probably one of its best years. It's up about 23% year to date, led by copper and tin. We can talk about kind of those components. And then obviously precious metals, just like a gold-silver split, you know, 60-70%. And everyone talks about precious metals this year. That's been easy to talk about and clearly the highlight. And as we're speaking today, silver went over $60 an ounce. So it's been on a tear for multiple reasons. It's very interesting. And then if you look at some of the other stuff, like the ag space has been kind of flat, like the grains index are probably down just a little bit, although that's ran into a lot of tariff related issues too. And then also, you know, broadly, the dollar's been weaker, and that's been some of this movement, certainly not all of it at all. But it's certainly helped push commodities higher with a weaker dollar. And we have the Fed meeting tomorrow. And a 25 basis point cut is pretty much in play. So it's been a really interesting year. Tariffs have been part of it for sure. It's not off the table. It's clearly one of this administration's tools. It's not off the table. And if you start to look at copper, while we're having these differentials, and we had huge differentials earlier in the year between COMEX copper and LME copper, it's very interesting. So that's not off the table. I was looking today, we follow 25 commodities, you know, the bigger ones obviously more than others, but there's probably 25 that we can keep track of. And five of the top five this year are in precious. Well, precious plus 10, including a base.
Okay.
And then we also looked at like seven of the top 10 are precious or base metals. You add in copper, you add in aluminum. And then the other ones, I think it's like natural gas year over year. Natural gas is always tricky because you have to really think about when you're referencing natural gas, you really have to think about the seasonality. If you're looking at fall month or just January. And then a couple of the fall, well, cattle and coffee. But yeah, I mean, the top of the stack in commodities this year has been led by metal, precious and base. So it's been an interesting year. And I think the key to next year, but my big picture, I'm already starting to form, is that the fundamentals haven't necessarily changed. But I think this is one year where you're really going to have to take into account the move that's already been made. You're really going to have to think about that in context of where are we going next year, even if the fundamentals mainly haven't changed, which they haven't, in my opinion. Each commodity is different. I think you're really going to have to look at the context of the moves that we've had. Silver's up 110, 120% now. Gold's up 60%. Platinum's up 60, 70%. So you really have to think about that. That's more on the investment side. We deal more in trading and hedging for our clients. So, but yeah, it's been an interesting year, and honestly, it's been kind of neat to see metals be in the forefront here finally this year.
Daryl, you mentioned several things I want to touch on, including, the tariffs, the dollar, the Fed meeting tomorrow. You mentioned the energy being down and commodities being on a, essentially a tear, especially, not only base, but precious metals, especially silver being 60 today. So I guess my first question is, are we seeing a decoupling, between energy and metals, and should we start thinking about these things differently? And where do you see things going from here?
Yeah, there's, correlate. It's a great question because correlations, especially to the dollar, all else being equal in a vacuum, they hold. And all correlations are really kind of out the door this year, in my opinion. I mean, everything's kind of diverged in different directions for good fundamental reasons in a lot of cases. So, yeah, I mean, we look at a lot of correlations across different commodities, across different, dollar to the to certain commodities, dollar to dollar to precious, still holds, but it's not near what it was. So yeah, it's kind of all over the board. But I do think like the rotation into hard assets from institutional investors, central banks, individuals, go on and on, is for real. And that's been played out mainly, in precious metals and to some extent into base metals. So yeah, we had that conversation. We didn't, but we thought through that last year too. Like, are we going to see like a broader index? The broader indexes have definitely gained, but they've been led by what we talked about in terms of like those subsectors in metals mainly.
So going into 2026, are you expecting similar trends, things to kind of go the same way they were? Metals, continuing to go up, energy kind of flattening, going down. I mean, what are you expecting for the new year?
Yeah, I'm just starting to formulate kind of my thoughts around it. And I don't think that the fundamentals have changed in most of the spaces. We can kind of go through one by one. It's again, you have to take into context the moves we've had. But the fundamentals and the drivers haven't really changed. If I look at crude oil, there's a lot of glut. I mean, there's a big supply glut out there that's going to happen in 26. And in my opinion, the front of the curve for now has really only been held up by geopolitical risk premium. Ukraine, Russia, to some extent, South America, some of the things going on there. But I really think it's a matter of time before crude moves into a sharper contango with the front coming off. It's just, there's a lot of supply out there. It's grinding lower again today, but it's been, WTI's been very, very range bound, really entrenched in like this 57-ish, 61, 62 for a long time. But it has, ground lower all year. It's down from month crude's off about 17, 18% now. Yeah, I look for that trend to stay in place. So that would throw that curve into contango. Not necessarily that the back's gonna like really move up, it's not the front's gonna move lower, these front prices. I mean, I guess IEA has 4 million barrels a day of surplus calculated out. They actually have going into the crude sector, there's two or three different short-term outlooks coming out this week, which will be really interesting. EIA, I think, is actually coming out today, and then IEA, OPEC's short-term outlooks come out too this week. So Yeah, it's been interesting for sure.
Where are we on the in the oil cycle? Is oil short-term play, long-term hold, both? I mean, how are you playing oil right now?
That's a great question. From an investment perspective, I mean, if you're looking at stocks again, I'm more strictly commodities, but I think it's going to grind lower again next year on the price. When you get Brent, you get WTI down to 50, Brent down to 55, we start to grind that way, which is probably in play. Very interesting to see what kind of curtailments we see either from OPEC Plus or from shale producers here. Now, I would say over the past several years, the oil and gas producers, mainly U.S., like we follow, have been very disciplined. So cash flows are good, structures are good. So, again, I'm not an equity analyst, but those stocks seem to be pretty sound just because of a lot of the discipline that's been put into that space over the past 5 or 6 years. So, I kind of look for crude to grind lower and to break out of this 57-ish. I think 57 May is going to have to break down first. I'm actually surprised it's held up here. So we'll see. Haven't seen a sharp move yet down, but we'll see if it'll break through probably. Global surplus is in play, and it's going to weigh it down. It's probably, and it has to kind of overtake this premium that's getting held up here in the near term. So you always have
Daryl, what about? I'm sorry.
wild cards though. Conflicts can break out anytime, anywhere. So it's that thing is not going to change either.
What about LNG? I mean, looking at the futures curve, what's the market signaling for LNG right now?
Well, specifically for natural gas, Liquefied natural gas is a good story, but specifically for natural gas, we've had a huge move up last week, and we've taken it all back off the table. I've traded natural gas for 30 years, so I'm a little more grounded on these moves, especially in the winter. We had a pretty good surplus coming in, U.S. surplus coming into the winter here, and November was kind of warm. So we're sitting 4 or 5% ahead of the 5-year average. But then we had a really cold December. And last week, what happened was the cold was moving deeper and deeper into the calendar into December. It was like hovering over the Midwest and East, and it's still there. We're going to have another shot of cold. Now, the past couple days, we've seen a little bit of moderation in the mid-con temperatures. So, yeah, we went over $5 easily last week at the 530, 540. Some of the cash markets going into the weekend last weekend just blew out, cash physical markets. So, where there's less pipeline, as you're going up in the Northeast, Boston, New York, some of those bases blew up into $10, $20. But that's not uncommon. I mean, you can have that. So we'll see. We've come off sharply in the past two sessions. What we've kind of seen on the trading perspective, and it makes sense, is the market's getting very defensive coming into the weekend because these temperature shifts have been so drastic. No one wants to go home short. Cash markets are getting higher, and as we get into Monday, Tuesday, if things moderate, sells back off. Wouldn't it be surprised at all for this to make another run back to $5 on the January contract? These markets, the temperatures have been shifting every day. But I think what the underlying support in this very short term, I'm talking just this winter right now, is that we're going to have draws on inventory of probably 150, 170 BCF a week for the next few weeks, which is well above average. So that surplus is going to start to surplus to the 5-year average is going to start to narrow down. And we still have a lot of winter to go. So looking at the longer term natural gas curve, I think it's probably one of the most fair valued commodities out there right now. I really do. Like I'm looking at the strips right now, 26, 27, 28, right around 4, 28, it starts to fall off, calendar 28 forward curve. So you've got backwardation, but not much. And I think it's pretty well felt fair value. Specific to LNG, so right now it's all weather in storage, and that will remain in play for months, well, 2 or 3 months. But then, like longer term, you've got production numbers have been really strong. U.S. producers, lower 48, have been pushing 110s a BCF a day. But you also, in the past several years, had really nice increases in LNG exports. So
yeah.
we've been running about 18 BCF a day in exports, and that's that infrastructure just keeps building out. So it's been interesting. I think natural gas is going to be has a very positive story longer term.
How are you positioning across equities, mid caps versus big producers? I mean, do you have any recommendations on how to do that?
Yeah, again, I don't follow the equity space as much. I do think in terms of the large cap oil and gas, diversification is key. We've seen a lot of consolidation. A couple big mergers, acquisitions were hit on yesterday. I think Antero announced some pretty big purchases. But I do think, again, getting back to the larger caps, they've been, and to some extent the large privates, have been very disciplined in the past, you know, 5, 6, 7 years in terms of getting balance sheets straight, discipline in production mainly. So, you know, they throw off a lot of cash. So, I think from positioning, the larger caps that are well-diversified, multiple assets, meaning multiple basins, oil and gas, gas probably a little more positive here, at least in the next year or two, are probably the safer places.
Daryl, I want to move to metals. We've mentioned how they've been on a tear, and what's driving the prices for gold and silver in particular, the precious metals, and into 2026, are you looking at a sustained run? Are you looking for a deep correction? What are you looking at?
I look at a sustained fundamental picture in terms of gold and silver as, you know, safe assets, neutral assets, whatever you want to call them, for investment and continued rotation into hard assets. And, you know, gold is your pure play. Silver's next, although silver is kind of a hybrid. You have some utility, and we can talk more about that. Fundamentally sustained price, you know, it's a safe asset. It's very hard to get in now and hope to make money in the short term, period. I mean, it just is what it is. We've had huge moves. So that short-term game is a very tough game right now. But I think the underlying fundamentals and longer-term stories aren't going to change. I mean, you've got large debt loads on a lot of these major countries. The rollover in hard assets has been underlooked for decades, probably. So, I mean, in terms of what portion is the correct portion for an individual investor, even a central bank or institutional investor, depends. But we've seen a lot of, obviously, movement into those hard assets. And I think it's been very interesting. And in the metal cycle, too, like, and I can't get into the specific numbers, but just in general, whether it's base metals, gold, silver, lack of capital into those markets for decades.
Yeah.
I mean, it hasn't kept up. And, capital is more expensive than it was. There hasn't been a lot of a capital investment in it. And now it's important. And I think in a really, really long term, I think the interesting part of the commodity market is going to be this, the combining and the merging of metals providing energy, whether it's silver for surface boards, copper. Mm-hmm. We can go on and on about copper and its play. And I think, and those are energy providing plays. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going to be very interesting over the next probably couple of decades is where does oil go and where do some of these metals go? And I really enjoy like studying that kind of stuff. It's pretty complex, but there's not price immersion, but like the interplay of metals going into energy space is going to be very interesting.
So let's talk about that. Let's start with silver. We talked about silver being having qualities of being a precious metal and money, and holding value. Whereas also for base metal, just its utility and industrial. And then now we're talking about providing energy. I mean, how do you see silver? And like, do you see it continuing to, act like gold in terms of the way it fluctuates? And then do you see it changing because it has so many other qualities, energy, for instance?
Well, I mean, yeah, it has like two like benefits to it, mutual benefits, where it's both an investment play and a safe asset, neutral asset. So it's going to help all the diversification into harder assets. And then you also have, conductivity circuits, solar panels, all of that utility that's actually there too. And again, it's been underinvested in for a long time too, and demand's been outstripping. And then from the investment side, you've had huge flows into ETFs. You've had shortages in some of the global markets. And silver, as a lot of your guests have talked about, is a smaller market than gold. And they're both smaller than, say, equity and bond markets. So you're going to have very volatile moves in, especially in silver relative to gold. So again, it's tricky because the fundamentals haven't changed. I don't see them changing in the near term at all. But it's made a big run. So,
So
100%. What are we up to today, year to date now? Because we've hit 60 today, or 110% year to date.
How do you think, like you mentioned silver and copper in particular being base metals, where they're also energy related. How do you see that affecting those commodities in particular, and maybe how they behave?
Again, it's still in play. I think it's going to be tricky next year with gold and silver just because of the move we've had. You can throw platinum and palladium in there too. You're probably going to really, I think, focus on what are the fundamentals. Like, fundamentally, what's in the ground, what's above ground, what do the demand pictures look like? I'm much more of a fundamentalist. So I actually think the move in gold, where it snapped back to like 3,800, 3,900, was really healthy and probably shook out a lot of momentum traders. But it's also been very impressive. That didn't last long. I mean, it was really impressive. So fundamentally, that's a good picture on the gold side. Silver did the same thing, just at higher movements, going to have higher volatility in a smaller market. But that was really interesting to me that we got done at 3,900-ish, call it, and we snapped back fairly quickly. We're holding 42. So I think you have to focus on fundamentals. Copper, I think, has got a very bright future, but it's also made really good gains this year. So you have to kind of take that into consideration. Copper, yeah, I mean, the amount of demand that's going to be needed is forecasted. I was reading some articles yesterday from Bloomberg. They were very interesting. They do a good job on all of this, where it's you're talking almost double out to 2050. Forecasted demand. Now, how fast the AI type things really build out, given that they're not cash flowing well, is going to be interesting to see. I think the trick on copper is same thing. The fundamental story is correct. How do you get the timing right is what's tricky. So, I guess from an investment perspective, I mean, again, bigger, well diversified, global players on the mining side probably are the safest way to go.
So in terms of AI, is that being priced incorrectly when it comes to copper? Is the timeline from what, your copper enthusiasts are projecting, in terms of how much copper is needed in the future, the shortage, is that being accounted for correctly in regards to AI?
That's a great question. It's a great question because if you look at the COMEX curve, the COMEX curve, it's in contango. You're out at 6.6+, going out into like 2030, 6.25. So, and interestingly, the LME base forward curve is in slight backwardation. That's kind of showing the difference between on the global flows right now that's going on, because the market's basically still putting tariffs on the table in the United States, whether it is refined, which came off the table in about 4 hours back in July. When you had a $1.20 differential between COMEX and LME, gone in a day. But or the pieces parts that need refined copper being tariffed. So, that's all going to be in play. Copper and gold have reset, period. Those floors are reset. I don't know if the copper floor now is 450, 475. with upside to 6, 7, 8, 9 probably. But the timing on that's just going to be really tricky. You know, how fast is the investment going? You talk about AI, like, I'm not by any means an AI expert, but it's really getting into the infrastructure, the power grid, all the things that are needed to move the amount of power that's going to be needed. And that plays into natural gas well, too, because we've done a lot of reconstruction and investment on the grids from coal-fired into natural gas-fired type power. So we're very undercapitalized on that space in the United States in terms of building.
Daryl, you mentioned tariffs. Curious as to which commodities were hit the hardest by the 25 tariffs and supply chain disruptions, you know, policy shifts or whatnot, and what surprises should investors watch for 2026? Do you see that changing at all?
Well, the surprises will be there because it's not off the table. it's you know, I think it's clearly a tool they're going to keep in play. And there was another one today on some other resources in Canada being in play. It's just it's kept in play on purpose.
Yeah.
Opinion of that, like, right or wrong. And it's not going anywhere. But like, so far in the spaces that we cover, in terms of the commodity side, clearly it's been steel to some extent, aluminum. And we can talk about Midwest aluminum premium in the United States. The Midwest premium's up over 200%. That's what's pushed the all-in aluminum price to records. Because you have the LME is up on aluminum, let's call it LME, year-to-date, 12%, but then you have the U.S. premiums gone from 20 cents to 90 cents a pound. And then thirdly, the copper. And the copper has been extremely volatile because certain tariffs went in play. The refined copper was in play until July, and they pulled it off the table on one day. So it's just been very high volatility. But those are the three that kind of come to my mind. It doesn't really affect natural gas at all. It just doesn't, because we're such huge producers of it, and we are the you know, production leader. That's why LNG is in place. We're the exporters. And then crude to some extent, but not too much. I mean, crude, that's more, the tariffs on that kind of come more into play when you get into like Russia and the diesel and how much oil is at sea right now, just because it's stuck out there. They can't offport it or get it out somewhere else. So it's really affected the metal space by far. And I mean, honestly, and I don't follow agriculture space very closely, but it's probably ags. I mean, you're probably looking at, obviously, precious and base, and then the ag space has been in play on the tariff side, and then it kind of falls down from there. There's not much to it.
So oil seems to, there seems to be a surplus in oil. People talk about a silver squeeze and there being a huge shortage in copper. How much of that is true? Is that overplayed? Is there a true silver squeeze, as the silver enthusiast would say?
Yeah, I think all of it's overplayed to some extent. It does get a lot of headlines. It's really hard to dig in, like, as a fundamentalist, to dig through all the actual details. I mean, I think directionally these things are in play, but I think they're overblown to a big extent in certain markets. Just depends. I mean, yeah, there were some short squeezes locationally in silver London, I think. And then you had a ton of copper moving over here earlier in the year out of other warehouses. And that's still in play. I mean, and that's what's actually reflecting kind of this tariff is not off the table, because you've got, I think we have record amounts of copper at COMEX in the U.S. now. And it's being pulled out of other places. There was a huge chunk that went off warrant last week in LME Asia. So it's just really affecting global flows. And that's what tariffs do. Whether it's crude oil, diesel, metals, it really affects the global flows.
Yeah. So the Fed meeting is tomorrow. Mm-hmm. What are you watching? What are you anticipating? Things go from here?
Yeah, 25 basis points clearly on the table. Mark Chandler, our chief economist, follows that very, very closely. And I think what they're kind of looking for is obviously the comments afterwards. And then it's kind of getting into the actual players in the Fed now, because all of that's coming up for, for there's going to be new people appointed in different spaces, and I don't know the timeline, but it's going to be coming into play in first quarter. And I think that's what's really being watched right now, is who's going to be coming into play. You know, what are their thoughts on interest rates and hawkish dovish? So I think there'll be a lot more to be watched on the fallout of the meetings after tomorrow. Yeah, it's they have a, in my opinion, they have a very tough dual mandate right now, balancing labor and inflation. How I got there. Yeah, want to get into
that. So, Darryl, with all this uncertainty going on, just not sure if things are being re-dollarized, de-dollarized. I don't know where you see where the dollar is going, but like there seems to be a lot of uncertainty. Gold is at an all-time high, or silver is an all-time high, and people tend to move to these precious metals because there's a lot of uncertainty. How important is hedging right now, and what leverage or torque are you comfortable with as you think of investments for the new year?
Yeah, I mean, from the hedging perspective, like in terms of running your business, from a commercial hedging perspective, you really have to focus on what you can control the controllables. I mean, a lot of these large corporations right now are in, well, actually past probably budget season, and then they're really starting to set levels. So I think in terms of hedging forward, from a commercial standpoint, and running a business, you just have to control the controllables. If you can take things off the table that you can't control, and put hedges in at levels that fit the business plan, you need to do it, because there's a lot of risk out there right now. I mean, everything we've seen this year in terms of volatility and risk, I don't see really much coming off the table next year in terms of what's in play. So we can have really high volatility again. So in terms of on the investment side, I think, again, it's going to be one of those years is going forward, you're going to have to really think about what has happened already. Copper is a prime example. Fundamentals are great by probably any metric, but the price has already moved up 20-30%. How do you want to position going forward? And in any of those spaces, especially in metals, you've got to really be in for the longer play. And I think they're very positive. I really do. I think it's really positive. But understand the fundamentals, understand the best places for, in terms of the equity side, the larger, safer, broader typically is always going to be good. But it's, you can't be looking for large gains, and we've already had some large gains on some specific things.
Doug, you've seen history repeat itself. You've seen cycles. What common mistakes do you investors make regarding commodities that you see over and over that you'd like to give your advice on and advice to? Is there a mistake that you've learned from that we can learn from, or like what do you typically see?
Yeah, I think, again, I'm more on the commercial hedging side, but I think common mistakes are trying to jump in on something because it's made large moves already. You really have taken the context. You've had huge moves. So is silver going to double again next year? Fundamentals can be positive, but that's a tough bet to make. I think again, you have to have a really long term view on these. Understand the fundamentals in terms of looking at equities. Just digging into fundamentals and cash flows, and kind of how people are positioned. Again, I think I'd say again, like on the metal space and even in the energy space, broader diversification for some companies that have broader plays, whether it be assets that are broadened out, or the quality of those assets, what's the management team look like, and cost of funds.
Darryl, lastly, if you can tell us about Bannockburn Capital Markets, what you focus on, how listeners can follow your work.
Yeah, so Bannockburn Capital Markets is the capital markets arm of First Financial Bank, and we cover foreign exchange, interest rate derivatives, and I do the commodity side for our commercial clients. We have several newsletters we can get out on the emails. I do a weekly commodity update. That's probably going to broaden out to at least I probably start going daily here pretty soon. And then we have several different podcasts, and Mark Chandler does a really good job as our chief strategist too.
Do you have a website or any socials that we can for a way to find you?
Yeah, there's Bannockburn Capital Markets is out on the web, and I'll probably forward you some of those other stuff too, with the other connectors.
All right, for everyone listening, we'll make sure to include Daryl's links and Bannockburn's Capital Markets socials, everything in the show notes. Everyone, I'm Steve Yang, learning alongside you from people smarter than me. Stay smart, stay curious, stay disciplined. Daryl, thanks again for your time.
Thanks, Steve. Enjoyed it.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.